Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat, of course, behind the glass. Questionable camp counselor, Christian Cat. By the book, Mike Rizzo. Troublemaker, Colin Russo. This little trifecta we got going on.
Colin, I'll set you straight, man. I'll get you down the straight.
No, I'm good. I'm good now.
Run into me. Then you'll get straight.
I'm good now.
No.
See, that type of camp counselor that you were, that you would strike me as a troublemaker. And I'm surprised you weren't.
No, goody two shoes. I expect others to be the same.
Never a class clown?
Yeah, I was, but the teachers laughed too. It was great.
Yeah,
Hold on.
I agree with him. Here's the problem. I was, you know, not to toot my own horn, pretty funny guy. So I would make my teachers laugh, but it helped that I got good grades too. And I was the really loud person in class that always participated, always raised my hand, but wasn't afraid to have fun and crack a joke.
Never got suspended. I never got detention. None of that. I always teetered the line. I got phone calls home more than I'd like to admit. Emails home, I got a ton. Never got actual like school.
See, Kat, they kept my phone one time, and you're old enough to remember when we had batteries in our phone. And I remember I got caught texting in class too many times, and my assistant principal took my phone. What you would do when you would just take your battery out of your phone, you'd delete all your text messages, take your battery out of your phone so they couldn't use it until they brought in a charger. But how about that? Try taking a kid's phone nowadays.
No. It's like a crime.
That's what I mean. But like they would keep our phone overnight.
I once organized a basketball game, a one-on-one tournament between three guys. And
short tournament.
Is that much of a tournament?
It's a one-on-one. It's a one-on-one thing. And I helped organize it. Whatever.
What?
The idea is I stirred beef between three guys.
Instigated.
The three guys didn't like each other. And I convinced all three of them.
So you weren't in the tournament?
No. I convinced them to play basketball in front of everybody at the recess. And they played, and it was a big thing. Hundreds of kids were like, it was my class, probably 400 kids. It was probably 250 people watching. And these guys are jawing at each other. And they're all very different people, but they all hated each other. I didn't do anything about that, but I put it together. I'm like a boxing promoter. I put the two guys in the ring.
Wow.
I got sent to the office, and they said I incited a riot.
A triangle of hate is a rare thing nowadays.
Did you go to private school?
And one of the guys, no, public school.
Okay.
And one of the guys is one of those, you know, I don't know. He's a strange individual. And he went to the, and the reason I got sent to the office in the first place, because he went to the principal and they're like, why did you do this? Because he got in trouble because he was playing in the basketball game. And he goes, talk to my manager, Colin Russo.
Oh, man, you're a promoter.
Talk to my manager.
Why did you throw me under the bus, dude?
That's incredible.
Brilliant. I have some videos of it. Oh, it was a great time.
Wow. That's like criminal evidence.
No, I didn't do anything wrong. He was playing basketball.
You taking bets? Because I feel like that would also
align.
I did not set up the gambling.
Is there evidence of C-Cats screaming at little kids?
So you didn't set up the gambling, but that tells me that there was gambling. People were placing bets on those fights?
Don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't fights.
The basketball.
It was basketball.
Yeah, more or less it probably turned into fights.
And the guy that lost, he walks into the cafeteria the next day, and everybody booed him.
No! A man in the arena.
That's horrible.
I bet he's a CEO of Fortune 500 right now.
I had nothing to do
right
with
now.
That. I just set up the basketball game because I just love seeing conflict. I loved seeing conflict.
You didn't play?
No, because I didn't have any beef. It was not about that. It was about
the kids
didn't like each other.
They were playing each other because they hated each
what
other.
What grade was this?
And they just didn't like talking
How
to each other.
How old were you?
Seventh or eighth grade? Must have been 14.
If I
13?
Walked into a cafeteria in seventh grade and everyone booed me, I would not show face in that school again.
Yeah, I was. It was so funny. And the guy, thankfully, was a good sport about it. Oh, I was on the ground laughing. It was so funny. Because he was good. I was actually friends with this guy. So I laughed at him because it was funny. He's one of my buddies. And but wow, that was something. That was an interesting saga. And
You guys are mean. It wasn't mean.
It was like a boxing. This is what we're talking about. Kids are inherently mean people. It's just. These kids had problems with each other. I had nothing to do with it. We might as well get a spotlight on this. Let's set
this
up.
That's true. We're not barbarians. Make sure someone's got to draw a bracket. There's got to be a hand raised at the end.
Yeah. You think boxers like each other? No. Why do they do it? It's not unethical. They make a ton of money. That might be one thing, but they don't like each other. It's like that. But it's basketball. competition.
Me and my buddy did something similar. I think I was projecting on you, but we were instead seniors in high school. And two friends that liked each other, but they got in a lunch table argument, who hasn't, about who would win in a boxing match.
Oh, wow. Did you put on the gloves?
We put on the gloves.
In the cafeteria?
Not in the cafeteria. But we passed around the invites to everyone to come to fight night.
Where was it?
In my buddy's backyard.
Oh, wow.
He had a perfect layout for it. Just the concrete was flat. Everyone showed up. Everyone was having a great time. And they went three rounds. And me, my buddy, who was a great wrestler, and the person that owned the property, or his parents owned the property, we were the judges. We went to the room. We decided who won, and someone was named champion.
Who were the two kids fighting again?
They were just two friends that thought that one could beat the other in a boxing match, and they disagreed.
That is interesting. I've been to one of those. That is the crucial moment of growing up, is something like that.
My high school, man, it was fun. We all liked each other. We didn't.
Boring. That's another word for boring.
Rarely fought.
Sunshine Land.
Boring.
I promise you, we were not boring. We were degenerates in our own right. Put two and two together, you know. But, you know, hence why I don't drink anymore. Probably 3 years sober, folks. Probably 3 years sober. We like to party, in other words. We weren't much of fighters. There were a couple of fights.
This is not fight. This is for entertainment.
You guys are setting things up and planning this out.
This is promoting. Yeah.
It was more or less, if you had a problem when I saw you, you saw you in high school. And I think you guys know me, not much of a fighter. I try to work things out with words other than come at your neck and tell you how much I can't stand you and hate you and whatever. So
see, one of the problems with our situation
was negotiator.
We used high school accounts to promote the fight night. So, like, it was so-and-so high school.
Oh, did you get in trouble?
No. Believe it or not. I don't know why I never got in trouble. Maybe because I couldn't trace it back to me in particular or my friend. But we never got in trouble for it. Because we didn't, like, broadcast the event. We just said, hey, show up to so-and-so's place.
Did you ever see the national article? It came out probably 2-3 years ago. Of the high school lunch ladies that stole, like, $350,000 over, like, a 2-year period of lunch money from the school.
Well, how
really?
Does...
How did you not see it? My high school. Didn't see this? It was front page of the national news. And
nasty
like
ladies. What?
It. My senior year of high school, my high school went on strike. Look up the Strongsville strike.
For what?
Strongsville teachers strike. Strike. Okay. And we didn't have teachers. And the first day was mayhem. I walked into my classroom and we didn't have
a
teacher.
Dream. That's a dream.
Walked into my classroom, didn't have a teacher. We all started trotting around the school. What do we want? More scabs. When do we want them? Now. Picket signs. Kids were ripping water fountains out of the wall. And the funniest story was, like, obviously the only people in the high school were the administrators because, you know, they're not teachers or administrators. I'm not going to say his name, but our assistant principal, who I was close with, was crying in a stall because he just lost all control.
In the stall? Come on, man. Go to your office.
The cops came, and the next day, we tried playing cops and robbers. So like
still on strike.
Still
on
strike. Oh my God, dude. The strike lasted like a month and a half.
Why would they tell kids to come to school?
Exactly. They weren't ready. And the next day, my mother's like, you know, you're not going. And I'm like, oh, we're going. We got a plan. And we tried playing cops and robbers. They saw that like we were all, because like I was dressed in like orange. I wore like a brown shirt and like orange shorts. And then all my other buddies were wearing black. And they sat us down in the room and go, all right, what's going on? They go, you guys are staying here for the whole day. You're not letting go. We all just got up and left. It was awesome. It was, dude, the first 2 days of the Strongsville teacher strike is something I'll never forget.
Inmates running the asylum.
Oh, my God. Guys, I walked into my homeroom because you know how you have your homerooms and whatever. And this was a huge high school, guys. My graduating class was like 600 kids, all right, maybe even more. And I walked into my homeroom and we didn't have a teacher. I said, all right, let's go. I said, we're out of here. I said, we're going to go find out what's going on. We go out into the hallway. Dude, did you have a teacher class? No, did you have a teacher class? People trying to go over the PA systems and mayhem started.
Man, no one got tased?
No one got tased.
Someone should have gotten tased.
Circling back to just violence.
Yeah, why are you out for blood?
Listen.
But the funniest part is the teachers were literally out in front of our high school with signs and walking in circles picketing. They had a schedule.
Waste of time. Nobody cares, teachers.
They had a Nobody cares. Guys, they had
a waste of time.
The teachers were picketing. There were news. This was a national story. You can go and look it up. Strongsville teacher strike.
Yeah. Teachers are not, you're not selling me. I'm not, you're not breaking any.
It's all about the money, huh?
I'm moving any needle with me. Let's get to the 5 and 5.
Number one.
What do we want? More scabs. When do we want them? Now.
Oh, I only had a graduating class of 100, so I don't think it would work that way. It just is
mayhem. See,
you get singled out. You can kind of get caught in the fold of 600 kids.
Not to be that, you know, this was my senior year, guys. You know, people knew who the hell I was around the school and my friends.
He is tooting himself like all day today. I've never seen anything like he was Bo Jackson in high school. He was the man at the Catholic school. He was the man at the high school.
What do you want?
Number one.
Chris Canty went on Unsportsmanlike today, and he had a really strong opinion. Of course, Unsportsmanlike, you can hear from 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 106.3. Canty had a strong opinion on what the Cowboys should do the rest of the year.
This is a two-team race in the NFC East, and it ain't the Giants, and it damn sure ain't the Dallas Cowboys. So if that's the case, then why wouldn't you lean into the tank?
Lean into the tank, says Canty. What should the Cowboys do the rest of the year?
Wait, when are the Cowboys ever lean into the tank? This is the stupidest thing in the world. Jerry Jones would never allow that. The coach is basically asking to be fired, and they just signed two big-time position players in CeeDee Lamb and
Colin,
Dak Prescott.
Let me ask you this. Who are they tanking for? What are they tanking for?
Yeah, like, what's the move here?
Why would you tank, and who are you tanking
for? An offensive lineman? A corner?
That's what I mean. Like, Colin, you have your franchise quarterback.
Well,
are you tanking for a running back?
The script's written. Tanking for Travis, Hunter, and hiring Deion. That would be the tank would be for.
Oh, God. Deion is not getting hired.
I love Uncle D, but you don't want Deion.
Stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why? They have no reason to embrace the tank. Teams don't tank unless you need a quarterback.
And look at the division you're in. There's a good chance that, like, 8 games, 9 games could get you into the playoffs in that division. As much as Mike T is buying Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, which I, by the way, think is insane. Bro, you're in the NFC East. You can win 8 games, 9 games to get in. There's no reason the Cowboys should tank. I thought that was one of the most bizarre things I've heard in a long time.
Number two.
I'm sleeping, Z-Cat.
Today on Get Up, Mike Greenberg, you know him as Greeny, he called Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the NFC.
And he's not the. I was Tannenbaum next to him? Like, plagiarizing.
Take a listen to a highlight tape of Mike Greenberg just singing the praises of the Commanders QB.
I co-sign. You? That's a dumb thing to say. He's the best quarterback of the NFC.
His numbers.
You just flipping said Sam Darnold is the MVP.
Yeah. There's a difference between being the MVP and being the best player. I mean, right now, no one is playing better than there is. There's a difference.
He went 16 consecutive possessions in which his team scored. They went back-to-back games where they didn't punt. He didn't turn the ball. They didn't have a turnover until this past week.
See, this is so stupid.
We're four games in,
and all of a sudden he's talking about like it's an awards race. Like, yeah, you could talk about who's the favorite at the moment, but the idea that, you know, just because they didn't punt for 2 games, let's put him in Canton? Like, slow down. 4 games. Wait till the adjustment hits and see how he reacts to that. Every rookie hits a little bit of a wall. See if when it's not an if, it's a when. It's going to hit Daniels. How is he going
to
respond?
Couldn't agree more with Colin, man. When you get tape out there, teams start to know your tendencies, your nuances, whatever you want to call
it. Nobody's 82% completion percentage good. Nobody.
No. And I like the story that, Colin, you know I love rookie quarterbacks more than anybody. Let's pump the brakes here. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Jordan Love, Jared Goff. I'd even take Kirk Cousins, I think, over Jaden Daniels at this point. I mean, he's 4 games in, guys. They almost lost to the Giants. Let's see what he does. And I guess maybe this is a little bit me speaking into existence. You know, the Cleveland Browns are going to be in this game this weekend. But my God, let the kid be a rookie. Let the kid make mistakes. Let's not crown him the best quarterback in the NFC after 4, you know, games. God, what's going on here?
Number three.
So I don't know if you guys saw this yet, or anybody listening or watching on YouTube at Russo and Rizzo. Well, Rob Gronkowski got a prank played on him. Take a listen to how it really went.
I just got off the phone with Mike McCarthy, and you guys know how big of a weapon Rich Russo is for that team. Right?
They just activated him, right?
They just activated him. They didn't know if he's going to be able to play today. They think...
Now, Rich Russo does not exist. This is a tight end they're talking about the Cowboys that simply has never existed. It's a fake name, it's a fake player, and it continues to unfold.
Good to go, not only today, but they are going to put him heavily into that game plan. Expect a lot of Rich Russo.
That's big because Russo is a complete game changer. Yeah. He takes so much pressure off Dak, takes so much pressure off the run game. Great blocker, great receiver, red zone threat.
Listen, I thought
it was a stretch. Though. They were talking about Tony Gonzalez. They're talking about Gronk. I don't think he's Gronk.
Gronk, where do you list Russo as like among the tight ends playing today at least?
He's been out for a little bit, so he might be a little rusty coming back. But I think they're going to give him the opportunities. That's for sure. But also, they got Ferguson as well. They're going to be a 1-2 combo.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Ferguson has been the guy because Russo's been hurt. You got to admit, with Russo coming back, it just changes their offense.
Yeah, but Ferguson has been showing that he's the guy right now. They're going to still feed Ferguson.
He's the only guy in the league that has two fingers missing on his right hand. That's why he's been out, and he's back now.
So is that going to affect him when he's catching a pass?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I still have all five of my fingers.
But you know what?
You're the tight end.
You have 10.
But all 10 of my fingers. All five on each hand, okay?
All right, this is a joke. Rich Russo does not play for the Dallas Cowboys.
That was Rob Gronkowski falling for a prank that the Fox guys did for him in a pregame of a Cowboy game, talking about Rich Russo being a tight end of impact, and that's interesting.
So Gronk tried to go along with it, try to BS his way through it. Maybe that tells you how much Gronk prepares for this, that he didn't immediately recognize that it was a joke. How would you guys react in that situation?
Well, that was the first time I've actually listened to it blindly. And it wasn't until later, I don't know, the way I'd handle it is I think they went overboard. I think they gave a little too many clues. If you kind of played into it, because all of a sudden you don't know if this guy's a rookie tight end. And what is Gronkowski know all 64 tight ends in the National Football League? I mean,
but they started comparing him to Tony Gonzalez, stuff like that.
Yeah, two fingers.
Gronk's not a draft analyst, which is what I'll say. And Gronk's also like, you know, all over the place in his own head. How I would handle it, I would imagine I'd be like Ferguson, but... If they were talking and they did it properly, I there's a chance I could fall for it. Absolutely.
I would no doubt fall for it. I would immediately think, what am I not getting here? I feel embarrassed right now. I'll try to BS my way through it.
See, I don't mind being wrong. So, like, we talked about this a little bit already. I probably would have just said, guys, I think you're mistaken this or something.
There's three Hall of Famers you're talking to in a Fox studio. Who are you going to tell them no?
Yeah. You know the person I am.
So you would take the risk of feeling stupid by saying, I don't know who Richard Russo is.
Yep. I would go, guys, Richard Russo, maybe you have the wrong name. I apologize. That's how I would approach it. I said, guys, I know the Dallas – and they picked the wrong team, too. Like, the Cowboys, like, we know who's on the Cowboys. There's no tight end named Russo on the Cowboys. So how I would approach it was, guys – maybe you got it mixed up for someone, but I apologize. I don't think there's a Russo on the Cowboys.
Just the way they structured it, I don't think I would have fallen for it either, just because they structured it a little too heavily. But on the beginning part, when they were talking about game changing and he's going to be a big factor for them, if this guy was a fifth-round tight end, who wouldn't fall for it? Like, you'd totally buy that this guy was some sort of tight end that's coming out of nowhere.
If they would have... compared it to Tony Gonzalez to two fingers or whatever.
That was overboard.
The Cardinals, for instance. The Cardinals. You know what I mean?
If
Russo's activated, maybe I would have been like, all right, I would have come under your sense of maybe he is a rookie, maybe I don't know who he is, but they went overboard with the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. I immediately caught on that.
Gronk never realized it until they told him it was a joke.
Well, yeah, it's Gronk, you know? He's still trying to get, you know, insurance for veterans. So
it's not Gronk's job.
I don't blame Gronk.
Who cares? Gronk's the best tight end ever live, and he's gonna chime in whenever you want Gronk. You don't get Gronk for his analysis. You get Gronk because he's a great personality.
Correct. I thought
and
it was
Gronk could give a couple great stories.
A low blow, no? I mean, going after Gronk like that, you knew he was gonna fall for it.
No, but that's the perfect guy because he doesn't care. Gronk doesn't even know where he is. It's great.
Number four.
The Tigers and the Royals have made it out of the wild card round, knocking out the Astros and Orioles in sweeps. making the trip to the World Series pretty easy for the Yankees. No, what happens if the Yankees don't make it out of the AL and make it to the World Series this year?
Can I start, Colin? Yeah. Because I can't wait for the Yankees to lose to an AL Central team. I can't wait. It is going to be instant gratification. It's going to be me biting into my favorite sub, favorite sandwich to watch those Yankees lose. No, I mean, realistically, this thing is setting up for the Yankees to go to the World Series and win the whole thing. I don't think any of these teams, including my Guardians, are good enough to beat the Yankees. Now, if Judge, and you guys are probably going to yell at me for this, but Judge strikes out way too much in the playoffs, and I don't think people rate Judge that high. I think it's important for him in the playoffs. Excuse me. I think it's important for him and Shohei Ohtani to have good playoff production. I mean, CKAC, I know you're a diehard Yankee fan. Go back to the Guardians series. I think Judge hit one home run and like struck out 13 times against us. I think it's important for Judge to have a good series and prove that he is the MVP and one of the no-doubt best players in the league. And the same vice versa for Shohei Ohtani. But since we're focusing on the Yankees, yes, it'd be an absolute nightmare if the Yankees don't beat the lovable losers of the Central. But I think it would be poetic justice because how many AL East teams and fans and crap have I had to hear on Twitter, or X, excuse me, saying that the only reason these teams are here is because of the White Sox? I mean, to Colin's point, how he explains to me, yeah, because of the record. But who advanced again?
Yankees 24-7 against the AL Central this year. No other team is within single-digit losses against any other division in the entire MLB. Nobody's been more successful against one division than the Yankees have been against the AL Central. But to that point, it's the postseason. Anything can happen. That is the game, the keys to the castle there. As for if the Yankees, there is no excuse. Their boogeyman, their shadow behind them in the Houston Astros are out. This is the Yankees and the Yankees alone to lose to get to that pennant.
And it's going to be, no, and CK, I know you're going to love it because you're a Yankee fan. It's going to be miserable watching the broadcast to hear the Yankee bias too. I mean, the league is going to do everything they can to get the Yankees to the World Series, and they kind of need it. I'm not even going to lie.
Costas is usually pretty good, but he's going to give 1,000 Yankees.
No. All right. That's where I draw the line. Bob Costas was unlistenable 2 years ago in that Guardians series.
The problem is Costas tells stories.
No, he was biased.
He tells stories.
Clearly biased for the Yankees. Wasn't even close. Yankee fans would tell you that.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We've got a little fan over here with Rizzo.
Yeah, I just
he hates my team.
Yeah, my team. No.
He does! It's not even a discussion! He hates Cleveland. It's not even close!
Nobody likes Cleveland. Nobody likes Cleveland except for Cleveland. That's the idea. That's why Cleveland's Cleveland. Nobody likes Cleveland except for Cleveland. It's the same thing. Nobody likes New York but New York. But New York's got like
What do you mean? They all like New York.
8 times the amount of people.
The broadcasters in the whole industry, they died for New York.
Well, most
to be
of them
good.
Are from New York. That's the idea.
And the same thing for Chicago, too. All right, now we're getting down to slope.
But the point is, the Yankees, this is do or die. If you do not win this, it is as embarrassing as of a loss that they have suffered in the postseason in recent memory.
Yes.
This is the time. You have the team here. You're good against this the division in the AL Central. This is the time to do it.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear you, C-Cat.
Yeah.
You are a household Yankee fan.
You need to win the pennant. Make it to the World Series, lose the Dodgers. That's permissible.
Dodgers are worried about the Padres.
Might even be expected. I don't really care if the Yankees lose the World Series right now. Of course, once you get there, you want to win the dang thing, of course. But it would be impermissible if the Yankees do not win the American League this year. Now that no AL East opponent left, no Astros left, they need to win. If they do not win the AL, Cashman's got
to
go.
Who's the biggest threat to him in the AL? Both of you.
Tigers.
Themselves.
Themselves is a good answer, but the Tigers.
You don't rate the Guards or the Royals?
No.
Yankees have the Guardians honestly, number.
Why?
I hope that you guys have to eat those words.
Oh, okay.
And I honestly completely dismiss the Guardians. It's crazy.
Completely. I think everybody is.
Okay. Also, sorry. Aaron Judge, you talk about his strikeout numbers in the playoffs.
Best bullpen in the league.
I don't need 40.
We actually have power in the lineup now. Okay. Jose Ramirez is the most underrated player in baseball.
Let's see how they do after the week off. Let's see how they do then. They have a lot of pressure here, and they're playing a hot team. That's one thing.
We hit Scooble all year, by the way.
Okay. And postseason's a lot different.
And
you don't need to get defensive here. Guardians haven't proved anything. We'll see. if the Yankees to lose, they have a lot of pressure to win. And I think that pressure might get to them. Let's get to the last one really quickly.
Number five.
There is one and one alone. Game three tonight in the wild card series. Mets at Brewers. Can the Mets pull it out?
We'll get into this a little bit next segment along with our punchline picks. This is a big game. The Mets have, it's weird, destiny and mojo are, and the Mets being the Mets are clashing, and you're watching it live. The New York, the MLB needs the Mets. I would probably take the Mets, but this is a coin flip game.
How about Chirio? How about that hit that guy had last night? I'm gonna go with the Brewers tonight, Kyle. I think something's got to give. Folks, this Saturday, come join us for the Coors Light College Football Game of the Week as we feature UCF taking on Florida. Two Florida teams. Have fun. The ESPN West Palm Street team will be at Charlie's Bar and Grill in Stewart on Saturday, October 5th. Once again, Saturday, October 5th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy $10 pitchers and $14 buckets of ice-cold Coors Light. Show off your tailgate toss skills for a chance to win prizes featuring your favorite Florida greats, courtesy of Palm Beach Autographs. You must be 21 or older to participate. Molson Coors reminds you to please drink responsibly. Once again, folks, this Saturday, October 5th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Charlie's Bar and Grill in Stewart on Saturday is our watch party for UCF and Florida.
We'll get to some punchline picks. We'll do a little Mets Brewers next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Going to do a little punchline picks, blitz the book in a moment. Mike's got to tell us about Kaiser University.
Yes, absolutely, folks. Kaiser and the Seahawks are great partners of ours. You can hear us live with their home football games. So myself and Cyrus Witten. Cyrus is a play-by-play. I'm on the color. We have a great time calling those Kaiser Seahawk football games. I'll tell you, Coach Miles Russ, what an amazing coach he is. The new coach for Doug Socha, number one in NAIA and defending champs. The Kaiser Seahawks certainly have it going on over there. Folks, champions all over the place, too. The Seahawks now have won 22 national championships, including back-to-back national championships in men's lacrosse, three straight NAIA swimming and diving titles, and of course, last year, the football championship I talked about. Kaiser has also captured 61 regular season and 63 conference tournament titles, plus a Learfield Cup trophy. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks Athletics, KUSeahawks.com. Folks, KUSeahawks.com. Also want to shout out our intern, Ashley. She is on the flag football team. Hopefully going to be getting a championship from our Seahawks as well in flag football in Ashley.
Well, we had a bad week last week, a bad week the week before. It's time for us to figure out our punchline picks. Here we are, blitzing the book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, Mike, let's figure out.
Sorry. You know what? I like what we did because, my God, we really thought about those picks. What was it? Last week? We didn't get a single NFL game right. And now I think us doing it on the show, I think we got the mojo. What are you always telling me? Theme? Mojo?
Theme. Theme is what we need. But it's a matter of there's a lot of teams on bye this week. But we're butts in the book here, presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, what do you like, Mike? Do you like anything specifically? You want to take that Ohio State line?
I do. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes are at home against Iowa. I want to make sure I have the right line here. I saw 20.5 on Hard Rock Bet earlier in the day, but we are going to go with that Ohio State spread. I think it's going to be a game where Will Howard is kind of going to put some critics to bed, and me being one of those critics, Colin, I just am not sure if Will Howard has enough moxie to win a national championship. You look at some of the great quarterbacks in college football right now, like Jalen Milroe. I know Quinn Ewers has been hurt, but Quinn Ewers certainly a fantastic quarterback on one of the best teams in the country. I don't know if he's a quarterback like that. I think he has a chance to put some of that stuff to bed this weekend at home in Columbus. Give me the Buckeyes 20.5 on Hard Rock Bet.
I like the Cadets of Navy, -10 at Air Force. Air Force 1-3. Navy can score with anybody, it seems like. As good of a team as they had in a while in a collision course with Army later in the year, I think Navy minus 10 makes a lot of sense, even on the road. Might be low scoring. I know it's a military academy game, but Air Force stinks. 31-3, they lost to Baylor, lost to San Jose State, just beat Merrimack. Merrimack got destroyed by UConn. I am not taking that. Give me Navy, minus 10. I think it's a favorable line.
Also, I apologize, 19.5 updated odds, CCAT. 19.5 for the Buckeyes at home. Next, Colin.
We got to come up with one.
You're gonna completely disagree.
Are we
disagree.
Doing the Toledo one?
Yeah. Actually, yes. We did that with Fat Jack. We will hold true to that. Toledo 6.5 at home against Miami of Ohio.
All right.
Favorites? Dogs? What's Toledo?
Favorites. Sorry, 6.5.
Toledo's minus 6.5 against Miami of Ohio. Navy at Air Force minus 10, and Ohio State home against Iowa minus 19.5. That's the college side of things. You want to take one more college? You want to go NFL?
What do you think of your Badgers? 13.
Not touching them. Don't
Dude,
touch
Purdue?
Them. Stay away.
Purdue?
It doesn't matter. It's the Badgers. Don't stay away. Not touching them.
Next game I would consider taking. Do you have a strong opinion on Missouri and Texas A&M? That's our only ranked matchup of the week.
Missouri
weekend.
Coming off a bye. Texas A&M is not the easiest place to play, and we also took A&M one time at a home game against that Notre Dame.
And
they did not cover because Notre Dame beat them.
Or no, we took Notre Dame, bro.
I don't
took
think we
Andy.
Did. Yeah, I don't think we did.
No, we did. We won that game.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we took Notre Dame because I remember.
I don't like this game because I think Missouri is just waiting for a loss at this point.
But don't you think this is a game they need? Don't they play? They play either Bama or Georgia. I can't remember off the top of their head. I think they know they need to win this game if they want to be in
college
football.
Coming off a bye too, but I.
Okay, that's fine. Then let's go to the NFL.
If you like this that much, I've watched Missouri, and from what I've seen, they cannot move the ball that well, despite all the talent that they have. So it just makes me a little nervous. But A&M's got an underrated defense. I don't know. Are they going to continue to figure it out? Unless you like it. If you want to run with it, I'll ride with that. Unless you're confident.
I would like to take one more college game, dude. NFL has been an absolute bloodbath. I mean, we didn't win a game. I think in the NFL, we're 1-5 in the last in 2 weeks.
No, it has been pretty in the NFL side of things.
Correct.
I completely agree.
But it's all right. We'll keep that on the back burner. Let's head to the NFL, though, and see what we like.
All righty. Keep it on the back burner. NFL side of things. There's a couple of them that make it. These are just so much tougher. I like Atlanta tonight, minus 2.5 if you want to go Thursday night football, personally. But I'm a biased Atlanta guy, so I understand sticking away from that. We haven't done Thursday night football all year. Maybe that should change, but...
God, Baker's our guy. We're Baker bros.
Yeah. I know, those are our guys, so I understand. New England, minus 1, home against the Miami Dolphins. Yes or no?
Book it.
I think that's an easy one.
Book it.
New England, minus 1.
Book
against
it.
The Miami Dolphins. Dolphins are in turmoil, short week. Give me a break.
Snoop.
Nope. Forget it. Goodbye. New England minus 1. Any of them others sing to you? Dallas is underdogs against Pittsburgh. Plus 2.5.
I don't Pittsburgh hate that. At Pittsburgh coming off that loss. Pittsburgh just lost to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Pittsburgh.
Is there any big underdog? Pittsburgh hurt us last week is one thing I'll say.
They did.
Now, minus 6.5 is like an overwhelming trend, or if they're plus 7 plus favorites. Arizona's plus 7 at San Francisco, and the Giants at the Seahawks plus 6.5. Seahawks on a short week, too, off a loss.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Which one?
Let's do the Giants 6.5.
I like that one, too.
Let's do Giants 6.5.
New York Giants. Plus 6.5.
I'm okay with Giants.
At Seattle.
Yeah, I'm okay with the Giants getting 6.5.
One more. Do you want to take a college one or you want to stick at the NFL? We can check the college if you want.
Do you think Dallas can win? No, you like Pittsburgh in that game. But
no,
I
don't. I like Dallas in that game.
I kind of do, too. I think Dallas wins outright.
All righty. Maybe the blueprint's out on Pittsburgh.
I think Dallas
wins
outright.
Dallas plus 2.5.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think Dallas outright, and I think the Steelers kind of come back down to earth a little bit.
All right, so our Blitz the Book segment, our punchline picks for this week, where we go against Theoretically Speaking, which you hear normally 2-4 Eastern on these very airwaves. We got Ohio State minus 19.5 against Iowa. Navy minus 10 at Air Force. Toledo -6.5 at Miami of Ohio, or home against Miami of Ohio, right?
Yeah. Toledo at Toledo.
Dallas
at home.
On the road at Pittsburgh, +2.5. New England home against the Miami Dolphins, -1. And the Giants, of course, traveling all the way to Seattle, +6.5. Like all those picks, a lot of iffy teams, but we're riding with it. Those are our picks for Blitz the Book.
We had to change it up in the NFL.
Yep, I agree. We got to change it.
But I was kind of a little wary on taking more NFL games. I thought maybe a little bit more college games, but certainly we're going to get back on track with the NFL with our with our good friends at Hard Rock.
That was Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock. Bet on Russo and Rizzo. ESPN 106.3, it's Russo and Rizzo presented in part by our pals over at the Boca Raton Bowl. It's coming up, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by the Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. It heats up on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join ESPN West Palm's Theo Dorsey at Brick in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now, includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase today. Should be a great event. Go get your tickets, spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. We close out the segment next. Give our Mets Brewers thoughts. It's Russo and Rizzo presented by, that was presented by Hard Rock Bet, but it's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Closing out a three-hour version of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, of course, Christian Cadiff helping us out, as always, behind the glass. Just blitzed the book there. Gave our punchline picks of the week. Ohio State, Navy, Toledo highlights our college side with Dallas +2.5, New England -1, Giants +6.5 on the NFL side of things. That was presented by Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock Bet, now you've seen the first few weeks of football season play out, it's time to try your first bet on Hard Rock Bet. Maybe you like Miami and things haven't gone as you expected to start the year. Well, if you don't win your first bet on Hard Rock Bet, you have to $100 back for a second chance. It's paid as a bonus bet. Last year, you really couldn't legally bet in Florida until week 14. Now, guess what? Week 5 coming up. You could bet on this week's games, the division races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, the awards. You can bet on the stats, the touchdown scores, the passing yards, other stats, total points. You could bet it live. You could bet it during the game, up until the final whistle. You could also bet on college football, too. Hard Rock Bet has you covered on that front. You could try a parlay. Who doesn't love a great parlay? More bets you buy, combine a parlay, the bigger your potential payout, even if you bet a small amount. In week one, a Florida bettor went 16 for 16, picked the winner of every single game correct in their parlay,
Ooh-wee.
Turned a $15 bet into over $104,000 in winnings.
Wow.
I don't even know what I'd do with that type of money. Crazy. Hard Rock Bet shows you all the popular parlays. It shows you all the popular props and picks that other people are betting from across the map. On their Discover page, a lot of great deals, a lot of great options on Hard Rock Bet. It's a brand new kind of sports book. Take advantage. Go try Hard Rock Bet today. All you got to do to get started is download Hard Rock Bet app on Apple Store or Google Play, or go online to hardrock.bet.
CCAT, do you like, I'm on the Discover tab here. Mike Evans +145 anytime TD.
Pretty interesting.
Not a bad pick. That's Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Big baseball game tonight. Of course, the Brewers won in dramatic fashion yesterday, where Jackson Churio show, and it was a very exciting game for American Family Field. A lot of energy in that park. I give them credit. That, to me, was a little bit of juice that the Mets needed, and they got deflated a little bit. So now this game is now a toss-up, this game three. And there's not a lot of game. Ever since they expanded the playoff and made it to this wild card series, there hasn't been a lot of game threes. This is as toss-up as it possibly gets.
I expect bullpen early in both of these teams. Like, you know, maybe Quintana's able to spin a couple more, maybe four or five. But I think bullpen early for Brewers, bullpen early for Mets. Myers and Quintana. Myers going for the Brewers, Quintana going for the Mets. Quintana has pitched well at some points in the year, though.
He's literally consistent, but you got to trust him here. This is a prove-it game for him. And as for Myers, he pitched well against the Mets last week. And he's a rookie, though. So all of a sudden, you should try to prey on the idea that you have a rookie manager and a rookie guy starting on the bump for them. And the Mets didn't take advantage of Montas yesterday, and he was terrible. They had too many singles. They left a couple guys stranded. The Mets could have closed them out pretty early on had they done some situational hitting a little better. But for the MLB's sake, the Mets need to take this one. They need Mets-Phillies. Brewers-Phillies, 4 o'clock on Fox, does not do the same as Mets-Phillies does.
No, it doesn't. And usually in baseball, like the matchups they want usually don't happen, right? I think it's the number one league where, like, I don't think there's a lot of parity. Like, in the early 2000s, we had the Yankees and the Evil Empire that were the Yankees.
But there has been parity.
I mean, what, the Astros?
The parity, Strokes? I'm talking about, like, there's a lot of teams that could win it every year. There's been a different champion. There hasn't been a repeat champion in years.
More or less, I actually like about baseball that the small market teams have a chance. I'd like to see the Brewers win tonight, personally, but what's the better matchup? I'd like to see the small market win, but I think the Mets are probably going
to
win.
What the Brewers got to do tonight is they got to get to their bullpen. If they get to their bullpen and they're still above water, they're in really, really good shape. What the Mets got to do is the Mets got to be able to score some runs early, make them pay, and then all of a sudden you got to trust Diaz and a big spot to get you out.
Yeah, I trust Williams a lot more than I trust
Diaz. Of course. So if you get to the bullpen and they're ahead, you're pretty much dead in the water because they're going to get their last six outs. But on the Mets side of things, you'll be on the edge of your seat. It would be interesting, and it's going to be a very intense, nail-biting game. But the Mets, hit them early, make the rookie pay, make Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers, make tough decisions. Mm-hmm. When it's easy to go to your setup man and then they get a hold here and then go to your closer in Williams, it's a little easy. Make him make a decision early in the game.
Do you like his decisions last night, pulling Montas?
He escaped Montas. I thought he made a bad decision with Peralta in game one, pulling him right when he was getting settled, and it hurt them because they got a five-run fifth inning. But the Mets, it's weird. Like I alluded to earlier, it's like destiny is clashing with the Mets being the Mets. And I think you're seeing it in real time. But for baseball's sake, I have no dog in the fight. The Oakland A's are years away. For me, the AL Central versus the Yankees on the AL side of things. And then at least you got a Padres-Dodgers matchup, which is going to be a great matchup. There's a rivalry there. Dodgers lost 2 years ago. I think that is interesting. And then, of course, you got the Phillies and the Mets. Keep it East Coast. You got the big East Coast matchup. You got the big West Coast matchup. And then you got the Central American middle part of the United States on the AL side of things. That's good for baseball. That's what I root for. And it's fun to root for the Mets in a weird way. I don't like... I hate the Yankees, but the Mets are so sad that you almost feel bad for them. They're so sad that it's okay to root for them as a New York team.
The Mets are probably the only New York team you will ever find me like, all right.
Because you almost feel bad.
It's like,
that's why I don't really care if like the Giants or the Jets even win a couple games nowadays, because you feel bad.
Like the Knicks, the Nets.
I'm over. The Knicks, I'm over.
God.
Yeah, alone with them. And the Yankees.
Don't even get me started on the Jets. I mean, the Giants beat Brady a few times. That was fun. But then I immediately went back to can't standing them.
Yeah. So, but ultimately, Mets tonight, big matchup. Get a few innings out of Quintana. Get to Diaz and hit them early. That is the idea. They hit them yesterday, didn't make Montas pay, and he stinks. And they escaped him. Don't blow the game. I like New York tonight.
Also, the Brewers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had 5 bullpen arms go. Interested to see who's going to be coming out of that pen.
Viewing setup. With Thursday Night Football and baseball?
Yep.
What are you doing?
Going to do baseball on TV, football on computer. That's going to be my setup.
What's for dinner?
Broccoli and chicken, like always.
Okay.
You a forager?
Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, sending you off into a packed night of Thursday football and baseball. We'll see you tomorrow for a 3-hour edition of Russo and Rizzo.